This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Well, as we mentioned, one of the reasons that hallway medicine is not going to be resolved as quickly as the premier is promising is what appears to be a very difficult flu season that we are in for. And it is the height of summer now. And it's not usual to talk about it at this point, but I think that it is a very good idea. Now, the cause for this concern is the news coming out of Australia, where it's winter. Australia, New Zealand always give us an early indication of what's going to be happening. And hospitalizations are three times what's normal for this time. And there have been more than 200 deaths so far, according to that country's Department of Health. So what are we doing here? Well, on the government side, Ontario has already ordered an extra 300,000 doses of the high-dose flu vaccine. That's more than last year. And of course, those high-dose vaccines are given to vulnerable people, including seniors. And that brings the total to 1.2 million doses that we have. So I want to hear from you about your thoughts on this. Are you going to get the high dose? Are you going to make sure you get your flu shot right, nice and early? Because also overall on all of this, there's still that problem that's called vaccine hesitancy. A lot of people think, oh, I don't need to take this vaccine. The vaccine is harmful. It's a bunch of baloney. That's the only way I can put it. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866 740-4740. I'm here with Dr. Iris Gorfinkel, and Dr. Isaac Bogosh is the infectious disease specialist at UHN's Toronto General Hospital. Hello, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Not too bad.
Did I pronounce your name right?
Yeah, Isaac Bogosh.
Okay,
like
there we go.
One of those curses that you every time I
Iris Gorfinkel understands
it.
That.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So first, Dr. Bogosh, can you add anything about the situation in Australia? And also, what strain of flu is this?
Yeah, great question. So Australia, as you point out, is having a tougher than expected influenza season. And as you also point out, it is winter in Australia, and they should be in the middle of their flu season, which they are. What's interesting about Australia this year is that the flu season started earlier than expected. It actually started a couple of months earlier than expected. So one of the unknowns is, you know, is this really a tougher flu season than usual? Or is this just a flu season that started earlier that will also end earlier? And at the end of the day, it will have the same rough number of people infected. So those are still unknowns yet. But kudos to Minister of Health for having the foresight to say, we don't have the answer to that yet. This has the potential to be a tough season in Canada. Let's be prepared. Let's get more flu vaccines available, especially for vulnerable populations.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that's interesting to me, and I'd like to bring in Dr. Iris, she says, so I'm seeing an extra 300,000 doses of high-dose flu vaccine, but it seems to me, I don't know if this is as a result of foresight, that I think last year was the first year that it was approved, not that it was approved, but that it was covered by OHIP, so people could get it for free. And I think there were some supply issues for it. So maybe this is just what was planned. Do you have any insight into
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so I'm a GP, and I can tell you from the perspective of primary care, this is where you generally get your vaccination, or at the pharmacy. So the patients that I saw had difficulty getting it from the pharmacy at all.
High dose, I don't think you can get it from the pharmacist.
That's
right. The high dose you have to get from a doctor.
Right. So they would come in for the high dose. And initially, I was only given a very limited number of doses. So you would think, I don't know, 50 or 60 doses would be a lot. in my practice, it was gone within 3 days. So that's a major problem. So patients were coming in to get their high-dose influenza vaccination, and it just wasn't there. So there were problems in the supply chain, which hopefully this year will have been worked out.
Yeah. So I guess, again, this number came from a spokesman for Christine Elliott, and it's their job to make their minister look as good as possible. But I think that extra 300,000 was not necessarily to cover anything special, but to cover what was not covered. Yes. Last year, Dr. Bogosh.
Tough to say, and I don't have the numbers at my fingertips. But in all fairness, anything that we do as a medical, scientific, public health community, as a government, anything that we do, any policies that we take to make it easier for people to get the influenza vaccine, I think that's a step in the positive and in the right direction. And as you pointed out at the beginning of the show or at the beginning of the segment, there is, some issues with what we call vaccine hesitancy, and it has some other names as well. And that's a huge problem. And we know influenza, there's this big misconception around influenza. People think it's just a cough or a cold. But no, influenza is a very severe viral infection. It's not the sniffles. It's not a cough. It's not a cold. It's a very severe viral infection. And we know globally, every year, it kills over 500,000 people. Over 500,000 people die of influenza every year. So anything that we can do to reduce the risk of death or disability from this, we should. And a huge component of that is vaccinations. Of course, we know vaccines aren't perfect, especially the flu vaccine. We know some years are better than others, but we still know when you sift through all the data, and there's tons of data, you can see that overwhelmingly, people who get the flu shot do better. People who get the flu shot have a far less probability of death compared to others. And by having more high-dose vaccines available this year, great.
I totally agree with Dr. Bogosh. And I have to add, if you take a look at those deaths, who's dying? And we know that 70 to 90% of the deaths are in individuals over the age of 65. That's the Zoomer population. And if you take a look at hospitalizations, we're talking about 80% over 65 account for the hospitalizations. So the majority of deaths, the majority of hospitalizations are coming right from the Zoomer population. It is imperative to get the flu shot and ideally the high dose flu zone.
And, it's not even just that. For a lot of people, this leads to a loss of independence. They're still doing okay at home. They have a bad case of the flu and suddenly they can't go home.
It's 100%. Life-changing.
I mean, go ahead.
So, in the elders that I see, I just want to reiterate the signs of influenza. I know it's a little bit early, but I can't help myself. So high fever is one of the earliest signs. Headache, muscle aches. So this is what defines it as influenza, a sudden onset of fairly severe symptoms right from the start, and along with usually some respiratory and occasionally gastroenterology stuff like diarrhea and nausea. But it's the fever that's the most predictive symptom that patients get, the headache, the muscle aches. So it's a big problem. And when elders get this, it totally knocks them out. So all of a sudden they become dependent on family members, dependent on other caregivers. And that dependency is something we definitely want to avoid.
Okay, let's take a quick call from Alan Scarborough before we take another break. Hi, Al.
Hi.
Do you get your flu shot?
Pardon? What's that, Libby?
Do you get your flu shot?
Oh, of course, every year.
Good.
Because I'm a senior. But I think what we should do is stop that foolish handshaking and adopt a hand bump. I was at Scarborough a senior place, and a man flushed the toilet, walked out of the stall. I was just leaving, and I saw him stop at the lunch counter and shake hands with two other people.
Okay, we're coming up on lunchtime there. I'm not sure I want to hear any more of this, but I think we get your drift, Al.
That is the God's truth. And I'm telling you, stop shaking hands, adopt the hand bump, and we'll avoid a lot of the flu.
Okay, thanks for that, Al.
Let's hope he wasn't a doctor.
Oh, that's wicked. And I want to start with a call from John in Toronto. Hi, John.
Well, good afternoon, Libby. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
Go ahead.
My question is, when is the best time to get the flu shot? I get mine religiously every year. I'm currently 63 years old. I would like to get the extra dosage one, but apparently that to qualify for that, you have to be 65.
I'll let Iris take that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You have to be 65 to get the high dose one. And that's made, that decision was made for a reason, because there's such a thing, and it's depressing to name it, called immunosenescence. As we get older, our immune system is not as robust in fighting certain infections. So the age is really 65 that we need that additional boost, if you will. Now, as far as when to get the flu shot, I would suggest at your first available opportunity. Consider it takes 2 to 4 weeks just for your aging body to mount its immune response. So it's not like you get the shot and then you're instantly fixed and you're fine. No, you have to wait 2 to 4 weeks for your body to have that immune response so that if you have exposure to that particular strain of virus, you will be protected.
Let me ask something, because I think it was partly what John intended. So for people who are, you know, I understand the government funds it at the age of 65, but for people who are close to that age, I'm assuming you can get it if you'll pay for it. Is it worth it to do that? Or is there some kind of physiological reason to wait to 65? Because, you know, suddenly you're going to wake up on your birthday and not be different than you were.
True enough. You know, these things are all on a continuum. And could you pay for it? Yes, you could pay for it. Could the doctor elect to give it to you if the doctor feels that you're immunosuppressed enough to need it? So there is latitude. In fact, there's considerable latitude in our system for doctors to decide on an individual basis. So that's a really good point.
Okay.
I was also wondering, if I may ask, the time between shots. How long should one wait before their next flu shot?
It's one influenza shot per year. So basically,
for a 12-month period.
Yep.
Thank you ever so much. You ladies, enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Dr. Bogosh, again, do you know which strain it is with which of the H1?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. So the data in Australia is pretty interesting, actually. And when we think of the flu types that are circulating, we often categorize them into two big silos. There's influenza A and influenza B. And if we look at influenza A, it's often divided into H1N1, and H3N2. The interesting thing about in Australia right now is that all three types of flu, H1N1, H3N2, and influenza B, are all circulating at the same time. Normally, there's one that predominates. There's normally one of the influenza A's predominates early in the season, and then it peters out, and then you see a little bit of B later in the season. But all three are circulating simultaneously. Luckily, regardless of the type of flu shot that anybody gets, whether it's high dose or lower dose or three components or four components to it, there's several different options available. All of those flu shots contain influenza A and influenza B. And it also contains the two types of influenza A I just discussed. So regardless of what type of flu shot someone gets, they will still have hopefully some protection against all the circulating flu viruses of the season.
Absolutely. And I'd like to echo what Dr. Bogosh is saying. So if I've got a patient who's in front of me and I have the trivalent or quadrivalent vaccinations available, and they may not even be high dose necessarily, it's more important to get the flu shot, whether or not it's high dose. So that's the priority, just to get vaccinated.
Oh, right. You mean some other shot for some other thing?
Well, I'm talking about influenza vaccinations because doctors have, there's so many choices out there. The one choice, and I want to know from you, Dr. Bogosh, would you agree that older patients should not get the nasal flu vaccination?
No, absolutely not.
I don't
absolutely
even know what
not.
That is.
I would argue that young people should not get the nasal influenza. It's very tricky to administer, and it usually runs down people's noses. And preferably, people should get the injection. Of course, we know in children, it's often very challenging to get an injection into a child due to crying and squirming and the other issues. So I would say better the nasal than nothing. But if as a parent, you know, I would preferably give the injection over the nasal if that was a choice and if that was a possibility.
Okay. We're basically out of time, so I'm going to give you 10 seconds each to wrap things up. Dr. Ivers, what would you like to leave us with?
Quick message. Once we're on the topic of vaccinations, two things. Think about your shingles shot, because if you look at the burden of disease, shingles is like almost number one out there. The chances of getting that are very high. So Shingrix, good thinking. The other thing is don't forget your pneumonia shot. And just to confuse matters, there's actually two pneumonia shots out there, the Prevnar 13 and the Pneumovax 23. So talk to your doctor about those and make sure you're vaccinated.
Okay, Dr. Bogosh?
For anyone listening who is hesitant about getting an influenza vaccine, you should really get it. It will help. It certainly, there's just overwhelming evidence that you will have a much less, there's much less of an opportunity for you to be hurt by the influenza virus. So get your flu shot.
Okay. Dr. Iris Gorfinkel and Dr. Isaac Bogosh, thank you so much for being with us.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.